sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex.
So you went on a field trip this morning.
I did go on a little bit of a field trip this morning.
Tell me all about it.
Well, it was really cool. So there was an event this morning that I thought I had missed and discovered the other day that I didn't, and I got to go. It's called Dance Your Yoga. And this woman comes from Grand Marais to teach it. And it's the advertisement for it. I love to dance, but I like nightclub dancing. I'm not so great at the choreographed stuff. I enjoy it, but it's like, yeah. So I'm like, but it was, you know, this is about yoga and expression and you don't have to, you know, it's not like complicated, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do this. This sounds like fun. And it was, I don't know how many people were there. I don't know, maybe I guess 20. And we had a huge ballroom to work with a beautiful view of Lake Superior and the lift bridge. And it was really the kind of the rules were, you know, have fun. This is not a performance. This is about you being in your body. This is about you. It was about chakra energy.
Nice.
And getting in touch with your chakra energy. And so she guided you through this process. And there was very little guidance in certain aspects. I mean, there was like group little things that you did, but there was a lot of freedom in the movement, right? So you got into a group and you did a train thing and then somebody would lead the train and then you went around, and it sounds a lot more corny than it actually was. But it was fun, and it was cool because it was also, I knew a few of the people there. So it was this great space of comfort, and that was what she wanted to create. But the thing that I thought was so fascinating, and I had a conversation with the person who led it afterwards, she said, you know, this was such a huge life-changing thing for her. She's like, first yoga, being a yoga teacher changed her life. But then experiencing this yoga dance and this place where people can come together, and it is about you, and it is about this guidance of being in touch with yourself, with your breath, with your energy, with your intention. Mm-hmm. But the lack of performance. The word performance, I think, is so key to this conversation.
Right.
And so I was chatting with her because, you know, she's like, it's creating this space where you are moving on your own in a way that your body feels good. And it's not about how you look, and it's not about other people are doing it right. I mean, she's like, there's, even for the choreographed stuff that was very minimal and easy, she's like, you still can't do this wrong. Whatever. Do what feels good in your body, if, you know, just whatever. And so, you know, everybody comes together and does their thing in their own way. And she had great music too. But I was talking to her a little bit about the consciousness and that performance piece. I said, we need more area, more space where we aren't conscious of how we look. We have so much coming at us with what people have to look like to do this, to be on TV, to be attractive, to be a, you know, a sexual person even. Like, I think we're starting to blur those lines, but I think we're also, I see this weird blurring of lines, so we're getting better and we're getting worse.
Yeah.
And I see more judgment in certain areas and certain places. And, you know, I think of people, well, I think of the students that I teach for diabetes prevention. Mm-hmm. There are some of them that don't want to go to the gym because they're not fit enough to go to the gym. They don't have the right clothes. And, you know, we have a culture, we have a society that has turned fitness and being healthy into you have to have the right clothes, you have to have the right shoes. We have a gym that I've heard feedback from people who said they have gone to the gym and they've basically been told, you're not welcome here, you're not fit enough to be here.
Mm.
You know, so we talked about this in my classes. For the sake of how much is in your own head and how much do you have experiences underneath that kind of confirm that, right? And both is true. Like, some of it is in our own head. There is truth to people being at the gym and they're really not paying attention to you. They're more worried about how they're looking in the mirror than you. But there are some solid experiences that are one-on-one experiences that people have that they feel very judged and very uncomfortable. And we also have a culture that confirms that every single day for people. So to just tell people it's just in your head, yes, there's some truth to that, but to push over that is really hard. And so we need more spaces. We need more like where we can be less self-conscious of every move we make and how we look when we're doing something. And then my next, I have a train of thought here that I'm going down.
I'm listening.
So, so I thought about the time when I lived in India, and we had a group event where there were the Americans and then there were the Indians, just to be clear. They at some point broke out into song, which they will occasionally do. Like I know with Joel's work, they had a new group of people working with the people in Minnesota and they sang them a song. They wrote them and sang them a song, right? So this is how they welcome people into their space, right? And here you are part of it. We're happy to see you. We're happy to know you and let us sing you into our fold.
Nice.
So we were in India, yeah. And we were in India and we were having this discussion and the Indians kind of broke out into the song. And we there were having a conversation about how in the US, that's not something we do. It's something my mother's generation did more so, right? Like, and I know groups of people do, they get together, but it's so much more about performing here. You have to be perfect. You have to, there's so many times we've all had judgment upon us of you didn't sing it perfectly, or you let yourself go, but your voice didn't do what you intended it to do. And then you were sort of shamed for that, or, you know, and that's only left to the famous people and the really good singers, the really good dancers should only be doing that. And it's like, we had to bust that crap in our culture because it hurts so much of us. It hurts us. It hurts us in our wellness, our fitness. It, you know, again, how many people don't go to the gym because don't have the right stuff, not fit enough. Then I take that to the next step and I think of how it affects us in our culture sexually. How many people are so uncomfortable about their own bodies or how they look having sex. How many people have to have alcohol in their system to have sex or to have sex for the first time? You know, how many people have to have sex with the lights off?
Oh, yes.
Right? So it's, in my mind, it's like there's body image as well as body consciousness. And they're both many times intertwined, but there's also a difference there too. And so today I was just really thinking about the body consciousness that we have and how we've been given that. Because those of us who are not perfectly thin and skinny, we see for people who have great bodies. And, you know, obviously we have a culture again who celebrates them, right? So if they whip their shirt off in public, no problem.
Right.
But if somebody else does, the embarrassment of, I've had some conversations with people who ended up, like a woman who ended up in the emergency room, and she was talking about having to take her clothes off due to the situation. And just the mental gymnastics she was going through of being embarrassed of having this person see her not perfect body. Mm. And she was somebody who I would say, I would look at her and go, oh my God, you do not have to be embarrassed to be naked. Haven't seen her naked. So, you know, but I'm like, you shouldn't have to feel that way, right? Nobody should, just in our culture, to look at her and go, you're fine, right? Yeah. Like, what in the heck? I mean, and to know that she's feeling that way. So she's like, I was so stressed in the emergency room about having my shirt off that it was so stressed, you know, that was where my mind was. It wasn't about listening to what was going on and it's like, isn't that crazy and sad? She's worried about what people are judging her on in this moment. And, you know, and again, how much does that affect us and from being our true selves and to let ourselves go and be in the moment, in sexual experiences, in intimate experiences, you know, it's really kind of fascinating. Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, in the United States, probably the closest thing you get to that kind of like free body culture would be, say, a nudist colony or a nude campground or something like that. You know, in Germany, they have a movement that's called FKK. I have it in front of me actually on my computer. It's called, I'm going to mess this up, Frei corpore culture. Fry corpore culture. So okay. It almost sounds like culture at the end.
Right, yeah.
And it's the abbreviation is FKK. And they have these FKK clubs in Germany. Now, it endorses a naturistic approach to sports, community. It's the joy of the experience of nature and being oneself nude without a direct relationship to sexuality. It doesn't have to be sexual.
Right.
And the followers of this culture are traditional naturists. They call them naturists versus nudists. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was one of the first worldwide that marked the start of an increasing acceptance of public nudity or the body, so that there is less restrictions on nudity overall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think back through like art, if you look at art in mm-hmm. the beginning centuries, especially in Central Europe up until the 18th century, people bathed naked together. They would play games, like a lot of the early Olympic games were played naked.
Wow.
Yes.
That just sounds uncomfortable. Like, no. Like, you know what I mean? Your body has to be more tough, and I'm just thinking on a breast level, like I don't mm-hmm. running. Ooh. Nah.
Well, but the Olympic games back then were mostly done by men.
Oh, good point. Okay. Yeah, oh, just, but even then.
Ooh. Yeah. you know, so I don't know. It's just so much a Western repression thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Swedish baths or the, what are the bathhouses there? The Turkish baths. Is that what they were in Duluth, where they would have the baths, the steam baths and stuff that you could go to? I think mm-hmm. there's still one in town there.
There is. I have no idea how much of it is a back room opportunity for sexual connection and how much of it is an actual, like, I don't know. I'm very curious. I'd love to go, but not by myself.
But, well, why not? I mean, there's an opportunity right
true.
There.
Where okay, you're, all right. So there we go. A little
even
field trip.
Stretch your own
this
perception of this. You know,
this mostly I don't want to go alone for the awkwardness of a new experience. Like, I don't like going to new. I prefer doing new things with other people, no matter what it is. So
yeah.
But
this whole FKK movement in Germany is based on an attitude towards life where the body is not a source of shame.
Mm-hmm. What a concept,
and,
huh?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to involve sexuality. Now, I know you were saying how this affects our sexuality, but just kind of think about nakedness in a shower or a sauna. Mm-hmm. How much more confident would our youth be?
Oh my God.
If it wasn't a place of bullying and shame and teasing and awkwardness.
If there was just no space for it there, because it just wasn't a thing.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
I know. I mean, I think of, I go to the gym and their towels are just, you know, I'm a tall person and I'm not a tiny person, German farmer body, I guess. And they're, you know, the towels are just like, just that little bit, just
little
not quite long
thing,
enough,
yeah.
You know, and most people, I mean, many people struggle with that. I see many bring their own towels. So I would bring my own towel and then I would use theirs as kind of a supplement. But I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, this is America. Can we just extend the towel a little bit longer, people? But it's that feeling like almost, I don't want to subject you to my body, so I should cover up. And it's like the amount of stress. I envy people who just don't feel that way. I've been very entrained in my culture and my family from a person who got teased a lot as a kid for multiple reasons. I guess never felt being naked in front of anybody was just being naked. Like the vulnerability of that was very uncomfortable for me. And I never was a skinny kid, right? Like I never had the fantastic body that I could feel confident about. Again,
but you're
it's
perfect, Judy.
I want that to be a thing.
It is a thing.
But and you know what?
It is
and
a thing.
Right. No. And it's so I have this own fight in my own head, which is why I want to talk about, like, this is again, reason for podcast. I want to change me. I want to change culture. I want to change me. I know I still fight with me all the time, and I'm getting better in certain ways. And some of that has been positive experiences. You know, when you have a partner who appreciates you and you feel respected and enjoyed sexually, right? Mm-hmm. That changes your, as we've talked before, that changes your outlook. It changes your world. It changes how you operate in the world. And if we could just have an appreciation for, and some people do, and I want to entrain this in us in general. Can we appreciate people and their bodies no matter what they are? You know, there's, mm-hmm. It's art. Bodies are art. There's all different kinds, right? Yeah. And there's a great extra, if anybody happens to own the video, the DVD of America the Beautiful, which is a documentary about many things, but it takes a girl who's like hardly, like she's a very young teenager through her modeling experience, and kind of just these sexualization of teenagers and kids and then into adulthood and body consciousness, all this stuff. But there's an extra on there, and it's an interview with a guy from, I think, Australia. And he came to the Mary, now this dude is buff, you know, really sculpted guy. And he came to the US and he's a model. And he is like, he talks about it, he's like, I can't believe what I get in this country just because I look good. Like, he's like, it is insane. I get tons of money. I get respect. I get to go places and do things that other people don't because of my body. This is ridiculous.
It's privilege.
It is exactly privilege.
We talk about white privilege, but think about that, body privilege.
Oh, heck yes.
Is that not a thing?
Oh, it's absolutely a thing, right? Absolutely.
So, screw this whole white privilege bullshit. Right? Let's talk about body privilege how the people that look great and are able to go places, do things, just like you just said, that this guy is a perfect example.
Yep.
There's privilege everywhere. But right. I want to go back to the idea that you're perfect. Now, because I'm a life coach, I've got to talk to you about this because I, you know, we're not gonna hang up this podcast with understanding.
A life coaching session.
This is a life coaching session for you. Our whole life, we are taught to be going for perfection. True. From the time we're young kids, that we're taught that we need to be perfect. And yet, we're also taught that nobody's perfect. We're taught that we can never be perfect. We're taught that we all make mistakes. We're taught that to achieve just means there's more to achieve, that you never truly arrive. So how is it possible that these two totally opposite things are in conjunction with the idea of perfection? Perfection is what you are right now. That's it. You are perfect in yourself. Who you are right now is perfect. Through all of your learnings, through all of your experiences, through all of everything, you are the perfect you right now. That's it. Can I get a hell yeah? I mean, come on. Drink the Kool-Aid, Judy. I am perfect.
I'm drinking it in because it is a hard concept. And because even though I can look at other people and I can feel that way.
They are perfect in their skin at that particular time for them. But you are perfect. Nobody else can be perfect as Judy. And nobody else can be perfect as Patricia. We are perfect. We are our perfect people.
That's hell it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, there we go.
I wanted it to come
so
from
So take your clothes
place.
Off yep. and start dancing and just realize that you are your perfect Judy. And this is all of it right here. Take it. Just own it. You're perfect. And I love you. So there.
Aw.
Okay. So I'm glad you went to your dancing yoga class this morning and pushed back our start time.
Me too. Well, thank you. Yes, I know. But and it is. it is a thing that I want for people to be more organic. And I think that's where it's for me, like when I didn't respond because I'm trying to take that in to make it a truth and to take it in, how can it be my truth, right?
Right.
So it's, yeah, that dichotomy that we live in. You're not perfect, you're perfect, right? And we live in a culture, again.
No, nobody tells you you're perfect. People tell you you have to try to be perfect.
This is true.
And they tell you you're not perfect, but they never say you're perfect. You're the only one who can say that.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to say.
You just said it. You said, hell yeah. So that means you're perfect. Stop it. Just start saying some affirmations.
Okay.
That you are perfect because you are. Okay. So, and then on top of that, I just want to add that sexually, because we are a Sex Matters podcast, that I totally agree with the clearing of the chakras. I think that dance and body movement, however that happens, is absolutely therapeutic. It's dance therapy. It's movement. It's moving the frequencies and vibrations of your body up and through your entire body, getting your circulation flowing, getting the vibrations and the synapses firing, increasing your circulation. Just everything energy wise is absolutely flowing in a positive way. And I really like to dance outside naked to tribal music. I find tribal music extremely arousing. Those really fast drum beats, the chanting, the singing, the, I think I've talked about this before, that even like women who are trying to get pregnant, if they can get into a place where they're listening to tribal music and become part of that, get that rhythm as part of them during the lovemaking process.
Oh, wow.
That it can incite some primal endorphin releasing stuff. It can start making your whole body move, pelvic tilts. It can cause muscles to contract. It can just make you feel like this beast, this primal beast that's in tune with all of the flowing and the rhythm and all. Oh, I'm gonna come right now. I get so turned on. I can do it right here in my chair. I can hear the drum beats in my head. But for people who are like really having trouble getting pregnant, oftentimes they say sometimes it's a mental block that you are actually holding energy. You're kinking off your chakras. Your energy flow is not moving and you're not, it's mind over matter. It's the idea of opening your uterus, opening your sex through music and tribal thing, you know, just kind of rocking, doing that tilt to the drum beats and stuff, letting your body go, relaxing into it, becoming somebody else, oftentimes is really helpful. Now, there's no science behind that. I don't have figures saying that that's truth, but I have heard of people that do that, that have tapped into that tribal mentality kind of thing around their sexuality and had positive results.
Wow. Well, you think of it, it's energy, it's rhythm. Everything has a rhythm.
Breathing.
Right.
Because you're breathing more when you're agitating your body through movement. Yeah. You have to breathe.
Right. Yeah. That's so interesting and fascinating. Well, tribal music became a thing for a reason, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no kidding.
You know, and how many things do we hear about in history that it's some point people are like, they used to do that. That's old. There's no science. And then they do science. They go, okay, they knew what they were doing. Like, you know, we hear that frequently. You know,
I feel bad for people who don't live in places where they can be naked outside in nature.
Right. Yeah. That would be a cool, I'm trying to think if I've ever literally been naked outside, and I don't know if I've ever had a place in my life to be able to do that.
We should arrange a podcast from one of the nudist campgrounds.
Oh yes. That would be so much fun.
You know, it's really funny we're talking about this because this morning I woke up and I really didn't feel like getting dressed. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm just going to record in the nude. I'm just gonna sit naked in my office and do the Sex Matters podcast.
Hey, rock on. Why not?
But I decided to go to a craft fair in town. And I'm cold, so I'm wrapped in a blanket too.
Right. This is Minnesota. To have it be warm enough.
It's freaking winter.
The 15 minutes of the year that you can walk outside naked. Yeah.
No kidding.
But it is, I love, like you said earlier, the difference between the word naturalist and nudist, because mm-hmm. I think if we can detach some of the sexuality from the nudity,
yeah,
it would help everybody. It's a thing. It's our bodies. Why? I've always been confused about that with, you know, growing up as a Christian, right? Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, the whole Adam and Eve, and then she became ashamed of her body. It's like, okay, why? What the heck happened? Like,
yeah.
Okay, if it's a God-given thing, what the heck happened? Could you explain this a little more, God? And if religion is a more of a created thing, I'm wondering how many other creation stories, and I've read quite a few, but I haven't thought about it in this way. How many other creation stories have this sort of naked and then they must cover themselves up thing? Like, if the body is if in God's image, wouldn't God be pretty okay with us showing off our images to an extent? I mean, I just, you know what I mean? Like, just being, yeah. not showing off as much as just existing and being comfortable.
There are all kinds of verses in the Bible that say that we are perfect just like God, or that God is perfect in us, or whatever else. And therefore, if we have these, okay, so the only thing I can think of is that our higher self, our soul, is connected to our higher source or the universe, God, however you want to think about it. Mm-hmm. And we're in this human body. And that makes this our human experience. Mm-hmm. How much of it is because we became human? How much of the stories and stuff that are written are because we became human? The shame came upon us. Mm-hmm. And it's part of our awakening. It's part of our human experience to learn all these things that are taught to us, and then to unlearn all these things and peel back for ourselves what is really truth.
Right. To examine what is the purpose of that? Why is this happening this way?
Yeah.
In The Road Less Traveled, and it's been a while since I've read this book, but one of the things he talks about, and I can't remember the name of the author, he talks about the Adam and Eve thing. And uh-huh. So I have a very complicated relationship with religion, because I couch things in my religious experience, but I would not uh-huh. consider myself a Christian any more in the traditional sense of Bible is the word kind of thing. Uh-huh. He basically talks about the Adam and Eve thing, and what he says, and I just thought this was really interesting. He said the actual sin is not that she ate the apple. It is the lack of the critical thinking that they did around why eating that apple from that tree was a bad thing, right? Sorry. So the sin was not in the eating the apple. The sin was not critically thinking about the tree and the whole situation. I should go back and read that again so I can.
So the sin was actually not having reverence.
Not having reverence and not having the sort of examination about the situation. So they were given these like rules, and in his mind, it's that, no, your sin as a human being was not thinking through them more and maybe asking more questions. It's an interesting thing with your whole statement of your job is to mm-hmm. learn and unlearn these things,
yeah.
and kind of crack them open and go, what serves us and what doesn't? What's the purpose? When we look at the rules and the traditions, it's like, what are the rules and traditions for? And we live in a culture right now where I see a lot of those rules and traditions broken by the people who kind of want to keep up those rules and traditions. So yeah. Not to be political, but here's...
Please don't.
Well, I'm just... The only reason I'm saying this, and we can take it out if it doesn't make sense, but the thing that I struggle with is seeing, you know, old white men defining what rules of women's bodies can be, and wanting to punish women and punish people who go out, say, outside of their marriage, and they stand on one pulpit and say that you have to do all of these things, but then when you find out, they get in trouble 2 weeks later for doing that exact thing that they're talking against. So it's like, okay, who do these rules serve, right? Yeah. And all of that, again, it so much of those are couched in shame in some way, and then we take that in, and then it doesn't serve us in our everyday living, in mm-hmm. our bodies, in our expression to other people, whether it's in the daily out and about, you know, or it's in our own, with our own partners. And gosh, if we could just let that stuff go and slough it off. And I am so excited when I see parents raising their children differently. Mm-hmm. I know people are trying to find those new rules, like we've talked about it on this podcast, of the parent saying, how do I raise my kid with sexual positivity, but not too sexual of positivity? Like, where is the line? We're trying to figure out those new lines and how we do this. So I think it's a great discussion to have and to try to break those barriers. So the yoga class this morning, it was just like one more place of breaking those barriers of self-consciousness to allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to be fully in our body, to express the movement, whatever that is, and get more comfortable with that, whatever that is, so that it becomes more of our pattern, and then it can become who we are authentically out in the world, who we are authentically with our partners. And then if we start shifting and changing, our partners sometimes freak out about that, right? Because they're maybe not shifting and changing. And so how do we find the place to get them to where we are, to have the patience with them, but also cultivate and create that culture in our own sexual spaces, in our own intimate spaces, sexual or not, to bring that forward. And then, yeah, with kids, I mean, too, and then raising them. So we create a different culture going forward. And it's fascinating.
Yeah. The new culture needs to be created for sure.
Yes. Like I said, I think there's a weird divide. There is definitely the group of people that are making that happen and really opening that up, and other people who are trying to close it down. And so that's where, if we can become critical about what's the purpose of either one and where do we want to live in that balance.
Right.
So there you go. That's my thoughts for the morning of my little field trip.
There you go. I mean, I'm glad that we have these experiences and we can bring them back and talk about them.
So yeah. As you say, you know, how we show up in life for one thing is how we show up for another. And I think about that a lot. I think about, is that true for me? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think that that's generally true, but I think that when I really examine that for myself, I see some different things that I do in different ways. And so then my question is, okay, so how is that different? What makes this situation different?
Yeah, well, think about it, because how you show up for one thing is how you show up for everything. Now, if you show up for something one way and then you show up for something else differently, it's probably a shadow side of the first part. It's probably the opposite, or a blind spot, or something that you aren't aware that you do that's directly correlated with the first thing. So, I mean, it's all, everything is related. It's all connected. Right. And a lot of it can all be boiled down to one or two things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, right. Well, and I'm again, taking it back to when I think about, when you say that, when I think about that statement of showing up for everything, and I think of different partners that I've had sexually and how I show up to them differently sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's that space of security and safety and knowing with this person, I can be myself, right? I can let me show up here, and it's good and it's safe. And it's that place of almost experimentation, because it's safe, right?
Well, this is another podcast.
True. All right. Well, let's hold this conversation off. But it is an interesting thing to examine in yourself.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
I think when you find that you've cracked a door to mm-hmm. do something differently, it's kind of like, ooh, what's in place there that allows me to do that? How can I duplicate that in other parts of my life?
That's true.
So,
yep.
All right. Well, let's close this one down. So, yeah. Oh, before we do that, talk about your art show. Talk about what that is. I want to hear more about that.
Oh, my art show. I'm so excited. On the 14th and 15th of February in Minneapolis. I'm going to bring up the actual information right now, just so I have it in front of my face. My art has been selected to be on display at the A. Mills Artist Museum for an erotic art show. And this erotic art show is going to be, it's going to be quite the shindig. That's all what I can really say about it. Here's what I'll tell you, the details that they're saying in the actual link. That Safe Word and Erotic Art Show, that's the title of it, is a noun, a word serving as a prearranged and unambiguous signal to end an activity, such as between a dominant and submissive sexual couple, or to introduce over 80 visual multimedia artists from all over the world who have an indulgence to share their erotic voice in a deep, dark catacomb under the city of Minneapolis. It will showcase over 25 erotic and sexual performers, demonstrators, and educators on the discipline, practice, and curiosity about sex and sexual behaviors.
I am so sad that I can't be there.
I am too.
Up until this trip that I'm taking happened, that was my plan. I was like, I am going to that. So congratulations.
My daughter's coming.
Oh man.
It's going to be a wild ride. Yeah.
Oh well, congratulations for being able to be a part of that.
Thanks.
Because I think it sounds like an amazing thing to be a part of.
It's a super cool opportunity. One, to be able to be in a space with a bunch of sexually open-minded people. Mm-hmm. Two, it's a chance for me to put my art on display. I was just at this art show today downtown here in Cross Lake, Minnesota, a very, very conservative plaid-wearing community. And there is really no room for my vulva art there. You know, I paint vulvas in an abstract Georgia O'Keeffe kind of manner. And if I had my art on display there, I probably would have killed some people. They probably would have dropped over dead or had a picket line before the show was over today.
Oh, Lord, you know? Isn't that weird to think about?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of me really likes the idea of pushing the envelope and just shaking the shit up. But I also have enough class to know that this is not my place to do that. So, so I was tickled, just absolutely tickled when they extended me an invitation to pick up one piece of my art.
Oh, wow.
Each artist is only allowed to display one piece of art. So there'll be 80 pieces of art hanging, all of the artists for sale. And 25% of it goes to the people that are putting on the show. Otherworldly Arts is the name of the group that's hosting the show. The other money that comes in obviously goes to the artist or however they want to, you know, if they want to donate it or whatever else. So, so I am super duper excited. I will also be doing book readings while I'm there. So I will have books on hand for sale that you can buy right there, and I will happily sign them for you while you're perusing and looking at all the interesting things that are there to see. So it's open to the public. You can buy tickets in advance, or you can purchase tickets at the door. However, because it is a catacomb in the city, the occupancy issues are quite strict. So if you buy your tickets ahead of time, you know you'll get in. If you show up at the door, you may not get in, or you may have to wait until so many people leave before they'll allow more people inside. So, I mean, for safety reasons, that makes sense.
And wow. This location just sounds intriguing.
Sexy as hell, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you able to take pictures? Like, can you take pictures? And
I'm not entirely sure. Okay. I haven't gotten a rules sheet yet as far as behavior while at the show. I'm guessing there will be some pictures taken because I've been to other art gallery shows of this nature, and there were pictures taken. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm super duper stoked about it. And like I said, two nights, the 14th and the 15th of February, from 7 to midnight at A. Mill Artist Lofts Museum. So it's on, the entry is on Southeast 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. Near the Stone Arch Bridge and the old gold medal flower okay. place there. It's somewhere in that area.
So. Do you have, and I apologize, I've been sort of processing through this. Did you give the website for them to check out the tickets? I know they can look for the name of the show on Facebook.
Actually, they are advertising mainly through Facebook.
Okay.
I do have the link, which I think I sent you. I'll send it to you again, and it can be put on our Facebook.
Yeah, okay.
You could email otherworldlyarts, all one word, at Gmail and ask for ticket information.
Okay.
But I'll send you the link to put on the cast.
Okay. So sweet.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, cool. Well, congratulations. That's pretty awesome. And feel free, if you want to take a picture of the art, we can put it on like the Our About page or something like that.
Okay. We'll do. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, let's close this one down. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Dance Your Yoga. I highly recommend it. If you ever get a chance, opportunity to go, it's a good time. It is a good time spent in a space where you can kind of just let that other stuff dump and drip off you if that's something that you're struggling with. Imagine if we could just feel more comfortable in our space. I think of all of the industries that are trying to keep us aware of our bodies and insecure about our bodies and creating insecurities so that they can, you know, sell us something or an idea to help make us feel better about ourselves or fix ourselves. And I get it. I get it. I absolutely get it. I live here too. I often think if we wanted to stick it to the man, so to speak, if we could let all of that stuff go for a period of time or forever and focus on our health and our happiness and our relationships, some of the other stuff and stresses in our lives and our health stuff might just take care of itself. Much easier said than done. However, pretty nice goal to work towards. Thank you for hanging out with us today. You can find out a lot more about Patricia at her website at patriciaengelking.com and see what she's up to. She also has a robust Facebook page you should check out as well. You can find my weekly wellness podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can also find Wellness Renaissance on Facebook, or if you're on an app, iTunes, etc., look for Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Stop by the Sex Matters podcast page at sexmatterspodcast.com, where you can sign up for the email so you get an email in your email box when we release an episode. Send in a question. We love getting questions. You can also find a link to Patricia's first book on the podcast. Her second one isn't out yet, but when it is, that will be up there as well. And we would love it if you became part of our Sex Matters community by supporting us on Patreon. You can become a patron at the Sex Matters Podcast website, sexmatterspodcast.com. You can also, if you're already on Patreon, you can look up Sex Matters or Sex Matters period, and you will find our page, and we would love to bring you on board as a supporter. So thank you for considering. Thank you even more for joining. Talk to you next week. Remember, it's Valentine's Day. Are you prepared?